Father, I just thank you that not only do we have your scriptures, this gift, but you said that your spirit would lead us into all truth. So, Lord, we thank you for that. And Holy Spirit, I thank you that you're capable of leading each person down their own individual path to hear the truths they need to hear. So, Lord, I just pray that you would just prepare hearts, give them ears to hear. Lord, you said if we would open wide our mouth, that you would fill it. So I just pray, O Holy Spirit, that you would cause people to open wide their mouth, to listen, not with just attention, but intention, with hungry hearts. I just thank you, Lord, for adding spiritual words to spiritual thoughts. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Did you guys get the little message I gave you, sent everybody out, about the person who got healed the other day by sitting in a pew? That was a really cool story. And who was a member of our city council, who has been here, I think, maybe a couple of times. I don't remember seeing them before, this person before, but they had fallen the week before and had injured their back. Wasn't life-threatening, but it was a fairly serious thing. Something was dislocated and some other stuff. The day before, they'd had to take medication still. Had to sit like on pillows down near their tailbone, lower part of the lumbar spine. And so when they came in here, they were still hurting. And they sat in the pew and got healed. So the moment they sat in the pew, they were healed. That's a good story, huh? We had some people in our two stops last week in Birmingham and Tuscaloosa who also were healed, which were encouraged. You know, I'm encouraged because we were able to share the word with them, so I pray that the word stuck to their ribs, but they were also were healed. And we've had some pretty awesome things lately going on. Some real accurate, like real specific, accurate stuff, prophetic stuff. Just an uptick that are all signs to me that God's answering our prayers about stepping into this new chamber and of Christ-likeness that's called signs and wonders and greater works. So just keep praying, and we'll keep crying out in faith for the full manifestation of that. But I'm really encouraged. We have some battles to win, don't we? Let me just read this from Ephesians chapter 5. Let me just kind of read, get you caught up a little bit. Verse 3. But do not let immorality or any impurity or greed even be named among you, as is proper among the saints. There must be no filthiness or silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather a giving of thanks. For this you know with certainty, that no immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience, of which you're not. Ephesians 2 says that's not who you are, so we shouldn't live like that. Verse 7, therefore do not be partakers with them. For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. And the word walk is used a lot in Ephesians. For the fruit of light of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving or putting on display what is pleasing to the Lord. And do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. And again, that doesn't mean go out and rat people out because they're sinning. It means walk in the light in such a way that light exposes darkness. But may there be such a contrast with your life and their life, but not in self-righteousness or harsh, but such a contrast that they would be drawn to the difference they see in your life. They would be exposed by the light. For it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. But all things become visible when they are exposed by the light. For everything that becomes visible is light. For this reason it says, awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. And so the idea of that whole section is that as we live our life among fallen people, we're called to be light. We are light. And so he says, walk as children of light. And the light that we carry, which is the life of Christ, that's what it says in John, that the light is the life of Christ. Because of our union with him, as we carry that light and we allow that light, that life to manifest itself, even those who walk in darkness, they get caught up by the light too. And that the light of Christ shines on them. Now in that context, it begins in verse 15. So I'm going to just read to you verse 15 through 21, which is a separate paragraph, but it's in that context of walking among those who are in darkness and being light to them. Verse 15 says, therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, or redeeming the time is the best word. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine. Let me read it to you the way the grammar is written. Do not live a life where you stay drunk with wine, for that is dissipation. But stay filled with the Holy Spirit. Be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. Alrighty? Again, Ephesians, we're in the walk section. The first three chapters was the sit section, the place of entering into rest, abiding in Christ. Now we're in the practical walking it out in relationships with people, in relationships among the lost. And you have to sit before you can walk. You know, the world is different. Like when you walk enough, then you kind of need to sit. But here you need to sit before you can walk. I just wrote this down. The minute you stop resting in Christ will be the moment you stop walking out Christ-likeness among men. You're being able to walk, be light among darkness, to be light in darkness, is utterly dependent on your whole abiding in Christ relationship. You're resting in the life of Christ. Now, here's the thing he says. It's sort of in the middle of this section, verse 15 through verse 21. And I just wrote some things down here to kind of keep me a little disciplined. When he says in verse 16, making the most of your time or redeeming time because the days are evil. Again, understand the context Paul is talking about. Because he's going to talk about being continually filled with the Holy Spirit. He's going to talk about what is a wise person, what is a wise Christian as opposed to a foolish Christian. And he says, but the days are evil. Now, it's important that we understand that Paul says that because Paul takes away the excuse that says, my behavior is dictated because of the environment around me. My behavior is dictated because of the fallen people around me. My behavior is dictated by the situation and the circumstances of my life. We live in a fallen world. Now, Paul is not this dark, deep, depressed person. He's the guy who said, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. He wrote more about joy, even though that was not his personality type. But that was his. That was the consequence of him being in Christ, because the fruit of the Spirit is joy. He wrote more about joy than anybody else.